Joined by the big boss, the CEO of the AFL, Andrew Dillon. Welcome along. Your first derby, is it perhaps?
First one this year. No, I've been to a couple over the journey, but excited to be here in Perth, and I think it's going to be a really big game tonight.
Outsider looking in, what do you make of derbies?
Look, being in Perth yesterday, you sort of forget when you're over east how big it actually is. It had a bit of a, not a grand final feel, but with the lunch and, they're good and they're big. And I think we can probably do more to promote them nationally.
So lunching and meeting. We know you've chatted with the two CEOs of the West Coast Eagles and, of course, the Fremantle Dockers. What can you tell us? What was the big push in their messaging to you?
Oh, look, we're undergoing a competitive balance review at the moment as part of our collective agreement with the players. We agreed that we would look into draft mechanisms, salary cap, and all the things that go to competitive balance. So there's a real interest in that from our two Western Australian clubs. And a focus for them is on fixture and travel.
SA has Gather Round, and it's magnificent. I've been lucky enough to be there for both of the Gather Rounds. Opening round now has moved up to the Northern States. We know that the AFL Grand Final will be in Victoria until I'm long in the ground. What does WA get? What do we get over here to celebrate our role in football and how important this state is?
Yeah, look, it's a really good question, Clint. And that's one of the things that we want to work with West Coast and Fremantle, but also our other 16, soon to be 17 clubs about what other games and events can we bring to Western Australia. Like sitting here at Optus Stadium, it's one of the best stadiums in the world, I think. And we've had games, you know, during COVID, we had the Dreamtime game that was packed out and sold out in a matter of days. And we even had a Carlton Hawthorn game that was played on a Friday afternoon in front of nearly 20,000 people. So there's a massive appetite for footy in Western Australia, and we'll work with the clubs to see how that looks.
So is that on the AFL to come up with an answer, or is that on the clubs here to try and do something?
Look, I think it's a bit of both. And I think what we want to do is, for us, it's about, ultimately, it's what the fans want. And what we're seeing is that fans want to be part of big events. We're seeing that in all facets of life, but in particular, we see it in the footy with, you know, the Dreamtime game, the Anzac Day game, the King's Birthday games, opening round, gather round. So we're seeing a real momentum on those things.
Andrew Dillon, the AFL CEO, is with us here on ABC Sport. Sharon Wellingham's, I know, got a couple of questions for you.
What kind of event is kind of coming to mind? Is, because you don't want it to just be a build-up, I suppose, of the Derby, which is already so well-received here. What kind of new ideas are being thrown around?
Well, I think maybe, Sharon, is because I think, yeah, we're lucky that we have got the two derbies and they're massive, but it is, can we use things around, say, maybe the public holiday, so WA Day, which is in early June, which is, I think it's the only in Western Australia. So that weekend, can we make a big deal and can we have some more games in Western Australia on that weekend, or can we have both West Coast and Freo playing big matches over that weekend?
Potentially both hosting a home game in that weekend.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
Nice. My question's in terms of Indigenous pathways and the I suppose AFL resourcing of it. We've seen a decline in the numbers of Indigenous players. Is it a focus for AFL House at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely, Sharon. It's something that we've been aware of for a while, and I think we'll see a bit of a lag. But we're sort of changed how we're focusing now on our talent pathways, and we're going to continue to invest, particularly in the regions of Western Australia. But it's a real focus for us. The numbers have gone from a high of 87 players back about 3 or 4 years ago, and it's dropped down to early 70s now. So we've got a real focus to pick that up, and we've got the work that we're doing, but also past players like Eddie Betts, who's got his own foundation. So we're going to work in with him, and then, you know, Jared Neesham at Clontarf, and there's a whole host of other organisations.
What's the, and might be off the cuff question, but the retention rate? Like, is it something that I know a lot of businesses and you know, people outside of the football world, retaining Indigenous employees is a massive focus. Is it something that the AFL or the clubs are putting enough resource into?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I think that's something that we could do better. But we have started, like, a few years back, every club had to have a player development manager, and now, in addition to a player development manager, we have a player development manager, an Indigenous player development manager, to help the boys and the girls when they come in. Because it's hard enough to get drafted, but then once you get drafted, as you say, it's all about retention. And I haven't got the exact numbers with me, but I think if you can get through the first 3 or 4 years, we'll see you'll probably last 10 or 12. So it's really that transition is really important.
So you mentioned about like the regional, I suppose, focus. Does that come down to the Clontarf Academy, you know, the Eddie Betts Foundation? Do they have to fund that kind of, you know, going out and finding this talent and bringing them to the city where they can develop so that when they come to, let's say, a 16s or an 18s program, they are at the same level as the guys who are coming from the city?
Yeah, look, I think it's what with the Western Australian Footy Commission, we're focusing on WA. It's the AFL and the Footy Commission working with West Coast and Freo with the Next Gen Academies, but having organisations like Clontarf and Gandor up in the Kimberley and the work that Eddie's doing, I think that adds to it. And so what I want to happen, though, is that all the work's coordinated and we haven't got the same people doing the same thing or leaving gaps.
Does the draft have to be as complex as it is? Because I often think as an outsider to our supporters, we get phone calls and texts all the time with people wondering how on earth does it all work? We know that there's compromises and we understand the issues with the northern states and the academies up there, but should it be as hard to understand and as complex as it currently is, and perhaps even getting more complex from what we read?
Look, again, another really good question. And I think having a draft system that our fans can understand is something that we should be striving for. And so I think part of the review will be trying to have as much consistency across, if we call them the compromises, like the Father Son, the Northern Academies and the Next Gen Academy. So if we can have them as consistent as possible, I think that's a bit of an aim for us. And that might make it then a lot easier for people to understand.
So the other one, again, from over this side of things, what more can be done about the travel imbalance that the WA clubs face? I know that Fremantle, for example, for a long time have said they shouldn't be travelling during the pre-season. Is it easy enough for the AFL to say the WA clubs don't travel in the pre-season and that's one less burden that they have to cope?
It's a complex question, and you know, the schedule that we have to put together is really complicated, and it's underpinned by broadcast agreements, stadium agreements, and the like. But we know it's a big issue for the Western Australian clubs, and we're going to work with them to see, because they do bear a massive burden of travel just because of where Perth's located. So we'll never be able to eradicate it. But I think if we can make some things that make it easier for the clubs, we'll bring them in. We did we've brought in charter flights for the last couple of years, which has helped a little bit, but it doesn't it doesn't make Perth any closer to Melbourne though.
Do you think that the clubs have got to a point now where they're like, no, we don't want that unfair advantage over the WA teams? Now they're going to start coming to the table and realising that it is so much harder for the WA teams and not pushing back on fixture changes or them not wanting to travel as much?
I think what I've seen with the clubs, particularly in the last few years, is that, and the clubs are really good at seeing the greater good of the whole competition. So if it's specific on travel, I haven't had those correct conversations, but I think they will see that. Now, how that plays out is a whole other question, I guess.
Andrew, great to have you in the box. I wanted to ask, it's been a bit of a conversation. It's maybe dropped off in the past 2 weeks because West Coast have gone a little better than they have the past 2 years, but where do you stand on priority picks and compensation picks? Because up until they put in a good performance this past fortnight, there's been a lot of talk here, and it's been a bit divided on whether they should be given and whether West Coast, you know,
we'll
ask for it and we'll receive them. Where do you stand? Do you think they still serve a fair purpose in the game?
I think they're part of the review, because I would love to have a system in place where you didn't need them. And there was, back in the day, there was a formula. If you lost a certain or won less than a certain amount of games, it was just an automatic. And so that was removed, and it's become a discretionary one now that the commission have to make a call on after a club's made an application. So I'd love to have a system where you didn't need it. And that's something we'll be looking to work towards, but that won't be necessarily in place by the end of the year.
Are there too many video reviews? Because it does seem to suck the joy out of some of the goals. And I appreciate they're important and you have to get it wrong, but just as a fan, Andrew, do you sometimes go, no, come on, goal umpires, you could have called that.
Look, I am a big fan of footy, but I also like getting the scores right as well. So, the umpires are there to make the calls. It's a hard game, but I think I'd prefer one extra score review than one few.
Are you concerned at all on that, Andrew, that goal umpires, given the criticism, and especially what happened with Adelaide's result last year, that they have lost confidence now, and we're seeing it more, not just because they want to get it right, but they are feeling the pressure from the outside, because it's almost like now the goal umpires cop it more than the field umpires from the fans.
Look, it's they're all really tough jobs, you know, the goals, boundaries and fields, and they do an incredible job. What we want to do is, you know, they train really hard and they're elite at what they do. What we want to do is for them to make the right calls, but they also to use the technology if it's there. And as I said, I'd prefer them to do one extra score review than not have one that ended up in a mistake.
Andrew Dillon, the CEO of the AFL, is with us here on ABC Sport. Here's a question you won't get asked in Melbourne. The MCG, which is where, and I get abused on this side of the country for it, the grand final should be. But we have seen a trend now. The last 10 times the grand final's been held at the MCG, it's an 8-2 advantage of the team that gets to play at the ground. And I did some stats. Victorian teams with games at the MCG, excluding the grand final, in the last 10 going in, played on average 12 games before the grand final. Non-Victorian teams at the MCG, excluding the grand final, played on average 2.4 games. It is incredibly lopsided. And again, I absolutely appreciate it's a challenge with the draw and there's so much going on. But is there anything else that can be done to give more access to the MCG to try to balance that out? One team gets to play there at home, or if not, at least 4 to 5 times. The other team might get to play there. West Coast in 2018 played there once before the grand final.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, the schedule is really complicated, and you know, West Coast will have their 11 home games plus the derby here. They probably travel to Victoria. They might only play 5 or 6 games in Victoria for the year. But what we are trying to do is particularly working with the MCG so that when the West Coast and Frio, when they're in Melbourne, that they do get access to the MCG to at least familiarise themselves with it and train. And that's something that we bought in for the last few years. And it's not the same as playing, but I think the more familiar they can get with the G, the better for them.
Would just one last one, Cara, sorry. Would, I guess, with Brisbane again, 2 games last year. So this is not just a WA problem. It is a non-Victorian problem. Chris Fagan, I imagine, would have had an interesting perspective, having come from the Hawthorn years with success to then having to bring Brisbane down there.
No, Chris, absolutely. And he's come to us with a couple of observations that, because having lived and breathed and been successful at Hawthorn and then seen the difference that it is when you're coming from interstate. So there's things like even just making sure that families can get down there and then finding accommodation for them and then the cost of flight. So there's a couple of those things that we're looking at now so that if we do have a non-Vic team in, that we can at least try and take those things out of the equation.
Andrew, AFLW going into its 9th season this year, pretty exciting. Obviously being in the top role, where do you see that brand and that program going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Oh, look, I mean, I see AFLW, I think we've come an incredible way in the 8 seasons that we've had so far, going from 8 teams to 18. But and then the level of play has just continued to got better and better each year. But I see it as a massive growth area for the AFL. We made an announcement during the week about a new general manager. She'll come with a you know, great leadership and a great number of ideas to continue to grow you know, the on-field product, but also making sure that we bring our fans along and have a great experience when they come to the games.
And I know before you took over the big job, you know, you shared your role that you play with your daughters in their local footy club. Are you still able to coach them this season after taking on the big job?
No, once they sort of got into that mid-teens years, they didn't want me anywhere near their football. So no, I'm not coaching, but I'm still watching. And there's a couple of girls, or you know, now young women who are playing in the AFLW who were unlucky enough to have me as a coach. So somehow they made it through regardless of that. Yeah.
Just one more from me, Andrew. You got raised again last night. It was raised a couple of weeks ago. I have to ask, we talked about video review, the captain's challenge. We've seen 2 fairly clear-cut incidents in the past 2 weeks where it may have been overruled if the captains could challenge. Have you changed your mind? Have you stuck to a view on it? Where do you think? Do you think we will get a captain's challenge at some point? Where do you sit?
I think if we don't like score reviews, I reckon we'd hate captain's challenges. So, no, it's not on the radar at the moment.
Can't see where it would work anytime soon?
Not in AFL, no.
Okay. What was your opinion on last night's Draper call?
I think we came out, it was, once you look at it in slow-mo and you look at the 3 different angles, technically it was there. Mm. but there were 17 Essendon players in the forward 50 and around. It was really hard, and we don't want the umpires guessing. So technically it was incorrect, but if they don't know, we don't want them guessing.
See, we discussed this morning. Like, even if they do make that call and it ends up being the correct call, Tex still has to go back and kick the goal.
That's right.
It's like there's still an element that it doesn't have to result in the win to Adelaide. So it's kind of like weighing up, all right, the correct call gets made, but it's a tough game for the umpires to make that call in real time.
And it was an incredible game, and we've seen a couple of good ones this afternoon as well.
I'm a no, by the way, on the captain's call. Sharrod
hit the post in the grand finals. He's against review.
Absolute last one.
Absolute last one. We know Tasmania's coming in if everything gets ticked off. You've said yesterday at the Derby lunch, no 20th team for WA. How long can you roll on with a bye and 19 teams?
Look, I think what I'm not as worried about a bye in the 19 teams, but I think also there's not many. The history of the VFL into the AFL is it has grown from 1987. We went from 12 to 14, and we're now at 18, soon to be 19. So there will be growth, but it's just a matter of doing it at the right time. And I think we've got a lot of work to do in Tassie, and that's the real focus for us at the moment.
Do you think the halt on it is? Obviously, the AFL's got probably enough money to make it happen, but do you think there's enough talent, or is that part of the reason? That if, the talent pool is so spread so thin, the game changes to a level that we don't want it to be at?
Yeah, I think that there's so many. I mean, there's so many talented players. I think the key with the talent is making sure that it's spread evenly across the 18 teams, soon to be 19, and then to be 20. But I think it's making sure that there's, if there is a 20th team, that there's a market for it and they want that team. And we've seen it in Tassie with 100,000 Tasmanians signed up and another 100,000 almost from around Australia and all around the world who want the Tassie team, and they want it to start as soon as it can.
My three stickers arrived in the mail this week.
Oh, well done.
Andrew Dillon, it's been outstanding you could join us here on ABC Sport. It took your predecessor 59 weeks to come on with us. You came on within six rounds. Well done to you. Great you could join us. Enjoy the Derby.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Who's your pick?
It's going to be umpired really well.
Well played. Andrew Dillon, CEO. Thanks to him. Thank you very much to Brian Walsh as well and to Jay Allen from the AFL to make that happen.